So, this is the second time you take on the production. What are the difficulties you face up as a producer of your band? And why did you decide not to have someone do this job for you?
Well, because nobody knows iSurf like I do. It exists within my spirit, you know, so there's no, I mean, working with somebody in co-production capacity is always a possibility, but there's never been a producer of iSurf. It's not like I have the vision in my head that I'm chasing, and you know, that's really what production is. It's to get to help with the arrangements, to get the best performances out of people, to, you know, steer the ship in terms of the kind of, you got to work with your engineer for sure, of you know, trying to get the tones that you want. And from an early stand, you know, I've learned a lot, dude. This is, what have I done now? 14, 16 albums, you know, 12 with iSurf studio records, two Demons and Wizards and two Sons of Liberty albums. I mean, I have some experience, and I produced a band called Silent Scream from Germany in the late 90s, and I've had plenty of offers where people want me to do productions, but it's a matter of time. I don't have enough time to do all the things
I
that I
see.
would like. So, you know, there's no, I don't, I think a lot of people look for a producer when they're not exactly sure what they want, and they need somebody to help. They have some ideas, but they don't really have the full vision of what their song structure should be, or what the tones are, or arrangements, or whatever. They need like that extra guy to come in. And I mean, you know, for many years, Jim Morris, and will be in the future, still as a co-producer involved in an engineer, and he understands me very well because of the amount of thousands of hours that we've spent together over, you know, the last 20 some years. And there's guys like that that I work with where, you know, it's cool because it takes some of the pressure off of me, and I'm not a recording engineer. I mean, I can do very elaborate and very good sounding demos, but when it comes into time to do production, I definitely want an engineer there so I can focus on the performances, whether, you know, it's myself, or if I'm recording Stu, or if we're doing whoever, you know, I want to listen to what's happening and not worry about doing edits and punch-ins and that kind of stuff on the fly. It's just not something that, I mean, you know, I can do anything that I want to do. You know, everybody on this planet is capable of putting their mind to something and making it a reality. We just are. But I do enough, man. I do a lot of work for this band and to make everything a reality, from the artwork and booking the artists and everything, man. So it's a lot of fucking, it's a lot of work, but I'm not complaining because it's what my passion is, and it's very, very clearly happening in my mind, body, and soul.
You wrote the lyrics of the song "Brother" along with Stu, and it's a song about your brotherhood with Stu. So after 6 years that he's in the band, you two seem very connected. What's the secret that make you cooperate so well?
Well, you know, I mean, it's probably past life stuff, man. I don't really know. I mean, Stu and I felt familiar with each other from the moment we met. Like, if there was some deeper, I don't know, some deeper relationship there. And then after all of the years that we've spent on tour together and all of the shit we've gone through, and not bad shit, amazing shit. You know, we've had a hell of a journey already. The bond just got stronger. You know, it was actually strong right from the beginning, and it got stronger as we went through all of the things that we did. And you know, that's quite a statement, because you know, if you look at just the Dystopia tour and then immediately going into doing Plagues of Babylon, and in the middle of that, the Live in Ancient Kurion DVD came out. I mean, it was a tremendous amount of work, and then we go on another massive world tour for Plagues of Babylon. You know, Stu's done more shows with iSurf than all of the singers combined. You know, because we did massive world tours back to back, and so you know, sometimes in those situations, you can have a relationship that doesn't go well because maybe there's clashes in the personality or whatever. But with Stu and I, it's just got tighter. So it's a very cool thing, man.
The last time you came in Greece, you presented Jake, your new guitarist. His amazing skills and his very good performance made me think that he gives a lot of energy to the band due to his young age. Do you agree? And how did you choose him to be your new guitarist?
I don't know that it has to do with his young age necessarily as it does his spirit, you know. And there was already a good amount of energy happening in the band. I mean, Jake brings something to it for sure. I mean, anytime you have a change like that, that's going to change the chemistry. There's best without a doubt. But I think the biggest shot in the arm for Iced Earth coming back energized was just having a break for a while. Me getting the surgery that I desperately needed and taking the time to rest and heal and then build the headquarters so I knew that the next production, which was Incorruptible, was going to be a great one because I was working in my own studio with my own equipment and all that's a big deal, you know. So the band was on fire when we did the Bang Your Head Festival and when we did the 70,000 tons of metal in 2016. The energy was way up. Well, when Troy told me that he's going to have to step down because of, you know, his son's autistic and it's a demanding situation for him, we put the word out and we had hundreds of people audition for the guitar position and, all over the world, lots of talented people. But I knew Jake, and Jake is very talented. He's a very, very skilled player. He's a dedicated metalhead. We knew him because his band, White Wizard, his old band, had opened for us on a tour. And, you know, we just had when he flew out here for the in-person audition, I had a very good vibe from him, and so did Stu. And he fits in perfect. He's actually, with his sense of humor and everything, he's very much like a young Troy. So, you know, that's always because Troy's got an amazing sense of humor, and he will always be a brother. You know, he's Troy's gold. He's a very, very good person, and you know, he lives probably 20 minutes away from me, so we still see each other pretty often. And he comes over and helps me in the warehouse and stuff when I need it. And that's what friends do, you know. So but it's good. Jake fits perfect, and he's just got all the skills and the right personality to be with a band like Iced Earth.
Do you think that he will surprise us in the next Iced Earth album with his writing skills?
I do think so, yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it because he came into the process too. He came into it too late, but he's got some very good ideas. So I'm excited about it, you know. We'll see what happens.
I guess that he only wrote some solos and some lead guitars.
Yes, solos.
Okay. Yeah. So in a few months you're coming back in one of your favorite places in Greece. What should we expect from this show and from the set list?
Well, we're doing a lot of Incorruptible on the world tour, and probably 7 songs, maybe 8, and then we're doing we're bringing back classics that the band hasn't played in a very long time. So some stuff that Sue's never done before. Certainly not Jake or Luke, and you know Brent has done pretty much all of these songs at some point or another in the last 21 years, but it's been a while. It's been a long time for me for some of them, so it's going to excite people because there's going to be your kind of typical classic stuff, but we are bringing back old songs that haven't been done in a long time, and we're going to play a lot of Incorruptible because it's a very, very popular record, and I think it's going to go over really well live. So we're going to have a shitload of songs prepared, and then once we get out on tour for a little while, we'll see how the crowd is reacting, mm-hmm. and then we will probably adjust the set list as we go along, you know, like we normally do. I mean, sometimes we think a song's going to go over great live, and it doesn't, and then sometimes we're shocked by how well another song goes over, and then we end up changing the set. In a world tour, it usually takes probably a good week or two before you really know what the right order and what the crowd's responding to mm-hmm. the best.